Hi, welcome to this podcast. My name is Erin DePauw. I'm a BYU student studying news media. This podcast is about federal Judge Morris's decision to halt the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. We will hear from three people who have personal experiences with the Keystone XL pipeline. Speakers, please introduce yourself.
My name is Mark Kenneth Tilson. I'm Oglala Lakota. I'm a poet and educator from Porcupine, South Dakota.
Wambly Weakawi Imatiapi na Cyan River Sioux Lakota Eagle Butte LTP. My name is Eagle Feather Woman. My American name is Joy Braun. I'm from the Cyan River Sioux Reservation.
My name is Paul Siemens. I live in Central South Dakota. My address is Draper, South Dakota. I'm on the Keystone XL route of that.
Thank you for your introductions. Will you please tell me why you are fighting the Keystone XL pipeline?
One of the reasons why I'm so passionate is because my people, the Opine Ridge Indian Reservation, drink the water south of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Most Lakota people drink the water south of the Dakota Access Pipeline. If you look at all of our reservations and our water source, all the way from down in Nebraska up to Yankton, Fort Randall, Cheyenne River, Eagle Butte, Pine Ridge, Rosebud, Standing Rock, we all drink the water. So in many ways, what happens to the Missouri happens to the majority of Lakota people.
Oil pipelines are the black snakes. They are huge factors in climate change.
Mainly fighting it because, TransCanada has the power of eminent domain and they cross my land whether I want them to or not.
Paul, will you please tell us more about this? We are very interested about how the Keystone XL pipeline contacted you about purchasing your land.
Well, it was way back in March or April of 2008. It was the first time they contacted me. Well, of course, they haven't gone across it yet. They haven't started building it. They pretty much let you know just as soon as they talk to you. They try to act like they're really great people and that they're giving you a great deal. They tell you right away that if you don't sign, they act like it's going to be the best deal they're going to offer you. And if you don't sign, next time they come back, the deal will probably not be as good. And then they let you know that if you don't sign, that they have the power of eminent domain, which means they can take me to court.
What were your thoughts about this decision? Did you decide to sell it or did you decide to keep it?
You know, when I first started out, I didn't think it would be quite so bad a deal. But then at that time, I didn't know anything about tar sands oil and how destructive tar sands oil, removing tar sands oil, how destructive it is to the land and the environment. And I think that kind of turned me against them quite a bit.
From your decision, what happened next?
I knew early on that I wasn't going to stop it by myself. We got quite a few of the landowners organized, and we dealt directly with TransCanada. I actually think we were probably one of the first groups to really fight the pipeline. As time went on, we allied with other groups. One of the main things that we did that probably hadn't been done much, we started working with the native groups that were working on their own. We formed alliances and it really became a lot.
Thank you, Paul. What are your thoughts about the judge's decision to halt the construction from the Keystone XL pipeline?
Well, it's a big importance because in that particular judgment, this federal ruling, he vacated Trump's order. And this is something that we've been saying since January 22nd when Trump signed those orders. He signed a memorandum saying that Keystone XL and Dakota Access Pipeline can go through. That's illegal. You cannot do that with a presidential memorandum. So the judge said that was illegal. It was a federal court ruling saying that what Trump did was illegal. Well, that's a huge win for us. What does it mean on the ground? A whole lot if TransCanada doesn't pay attention to it. I have personally seen them moving materials, not pipe, but moving these big, huge beams that they use for access roads and to keep heavy equipment from sinking in. And I just saw them moving all that stuff. They need to pay attention to that particular judgment, because it wasn't just administrative act, the administrative procedural act that Trump violated, but he also violated NEPA. And NEPA is a foundation for the United States environmental laws. And in doing so, violated Section 106, which is our historic and cultural preservation sites. So these other pipelines need to start paying attention to that, because they can't just come in willy-nilly across the nation and start saying, okay, we see this cultural site, but it doesn't really matter to anybody, so we're just going to plow through it. And that's what they did on the Mountain Valley Pipeline. We actually had archaeologists go out there and show that these were cultural sites, and they ignored it. So they need to start paying attention, because we are paying attention and we will go after them.
Well, it was a surprise to me. I had been following that same lawsuit affected the pipeline down in Nebraska, and I was surprised that the judge stopped it for the reasons he did, and a lot of the reasons he stopped it were a lot of my same concerns, and well, for instance, TransCanada never did do a very good job of cultural resource surveys, and TransCanada, way back in 2008-2010, TransCanada tried to sell their pipelines being needed because of it was a matter of national security. And now that the United States is kind of becoming self-sufficient in oil production, their Keystone XL is not really a matter of national security anymore. It's just more of a matter of being able to cross our land to get their oil down to the Gulf Coast and put it on the world market. So I was kind of pleased that the judge, you know, said what he did, and I kind of hope that it holds up. I think one thing that will, you know, that will really hold up the pipeline is if they have to do a more environmental impact statement.
Wow, that's very interesting. Mark, do you have any thoughts about this?
Utterly irrelevant. The reason why is pipeline companies build without permits all of the time. Permits only scare their investors. They don't actually change what the pipeline companies themselves are going to do.
Mark, thanks for your response. Joy, I heard you have some information about the history of the Keystone Pipeline. Will you please tell us a little bit more about it?
So back in 2008, TransCanada decided that they were going to put a pipeline on the eastern side of South Dakota through Ocheti Shakoi territory, which is our name for Lakota, Dakota, Nakota, or the Sioux people. I was in Washington State at the time, and I heard about it. You know, it's still my homeland. So I went ahead and I wrote opinions, and I tried to get people at home to do something about it. And we didn't know a whole lot about how to fight a pipeline back in 2008. So they went ahead and they put Keystone 1 in. What we've learned from Keystone 1 is that they don't build them correctly. They build them fast. They don't do everything that they say they're going to do with regards to the safety of the pipeline. And they really destroy the land that it's on. Lots and lots of pictures from the eastern side of South Dakota that shows that the farmland was never the same after they put Keystone 1 in. And then when I moved back to South Dakota in 2010, I started hearing rumors about Keystone XL. And it was in 2011 that we started stopping trucks in South Dakota because they were trying to move pipe through. Keystone XL at the time in 2010 and 2011 wanted to go directly through my reservation, and of course we weren't going to have that.
Thank you for your time and sharing your opinions about this topic. Do you have any last words you would like to say?
I would think any young person would be kind of interested in climate change. For sure. And it just seems like about every time you read something, there's more threats to our drinking water. Between drinking water and climate change, I would think people should become involved in these kind of things.
Mark, do you have any final words you would like to say?
For folks who are indigenous, connecting with your history and your land and understanding that we have always been warriors. Since the beginning of time, we have had to defend ourselves, our land, our people, and our way of life. And that the more that you can connect with your history, your culture, the braver you will become, making the stance that is necessary to stand up now. Recognizing that we have, the United Nations released a report that's saying that we have 12 years to alter the course of human history to prevent catastrophic climate change. And we're now counting down the days, the months, until it's all over, until human civilization as we know it will no longer survive on the planet.
Joy, would you like to say anything?
You know, Keystone XL has kind of been the standard for a lot of the other pipeline fights, and we're still learning. And everything changed after Standing Rock. Everything changed after Standing Rock. We will kill this zombie pipeline. We've killed it 4 times before, and we will kill it again.
To our listeners out there, thank you. This concludes this podcast.